morning. Happy day after Thanksgiving. This is Kathy coming to you with the Iroquois County Times-Republic on Friday, November the 28th. Looking at the front page, Iroquois County warming centers available during the winter season. The Iroquois County Emergency Management Agency reminds residents that warming centers will be available in Iroquois County, ensuring the most vulnerable of residents are safe during the upcoming bitterly cold days throughout the winter season. According to information from the agency, centers offer a warm relief location during periods when an extreme cold warning is issued by the National Weather Service or during other significantly cold periods when a warm location may be needed. EMA Coordinator Scott Anderson said it's strongly encouraged that anyone seeking temperature relief from the cold within one of these facilities listed below, please call to confirm the ability to provide service prior to leaving for the warming center location. That way you can be certain you can receive the needed relief. The following locations will be available during your standard business hours: Ashcombe, Ashcombe Coliseum, Chabance, the Chabance Community Building, Cisna Park Village Hall and Gilman City Hall, Iroquois West CUSD No. 10, Milford Community Center within City Hall, Milford Christian Church, Sheldon Public Library, Watseka Public Library, Walmart, Trinity Church, Iroquois County CUSD 9, Administration Office. Other locations may be made available as EMA receives updated information. Anderson said that Iroquois County residents are encouraged to ensure their senior relatives, friends, and neighbors, and others whose health may be affected by extreme cold, are safe during freezing temperature days. Churches and other organized groups are also asked to check in on the well-being of their members. And there's a lot of fun pictures in here today. Santa enjoyed discussing Christmas wishes with Camille Charles and Sister Belle, who dressed like Belle from one of the Disney movies. They were very excited to see Santa and their friends. They attended the event with their mom, Abby. Camille asked Santa for a Scruffalove for Christmas. Cambry Medina, daughter of Anthony and Lee Medina from Crescent City, couldn't wait to tell Santa she wants a doctor's kit for Christmas. Mom assured Santa the wish list changes daily. Visitors to Santa got to color ornaments or pictures, write a letter to Santa, complete their wish lists, and enjoy refreshments. The event was sponsored by the Village of Crescent City. Santa is shown here after discussing Christmas wishes with Maverick Miracle, who attended the Santa's visit in Crescent City with his mom, Jewel, Brother Hudson, and Grandma Veronica. Santa tried his best to get Maverick to switch eyeglasses with him. He really liked Maverick's blue frames. Darren Hooper attended Santa's visit with his mom, Analia, and sister Layla. Darren is shown here with the prize he selected in drawing, a stuffed pink pig with candy. The first family to visit Santa in Crescent City last Saturday was the Martin family of Onarga. In the back are Charlie, Santa, and Fiona, and also Owen, who wanted nothing to do with the jolly soul, held by Dad Austin, and at far right is Mom Jennifer. About 50 children visited Santa at the community center. Santa makes a stop in Crescent City by Kim Raby. Santa Claus took a detour from his busy schedule and managed a two-hour visit at the Crescent City Community Center last Saturday, the 22nd of November. The visit was sponsored by the Village of Crescent City. Several volunteers helped make the event a success. And they were Judy Kilgore, Kathy Christensen, Emma Klopp, Addison Raby, Kim Raby, and Satori Raby. Klopp handed out treat bags to the children after they visited Santa. Kilgore and Christensen served refreshments, and Addison Raby and Satori Raby were in charge of the prize drawing tables. Others who made the event successful were Liz Maxfield, Anna Hooper, Tiffany Lemonager, Lisa Blanchette, Gianna Robinson, Karen Perez, Jean Heron, Joni Tim of Sparkle U2, Lee and Mark Raby. Due to the generosity of several, there were many drawing prizes this year. Winners of prizes were Sophia Moeller, Adeline Levesque, Olivia Rosenblum, Rachel Henning, Veronica Miracle, Carolyn Lemonager, Braxton Grabo, Mallory Rediger, Camille Charles, Jackson Moeller, Ellie Rogers, Kaysen Medina, Hannah Rudisil, Zayla Price, Emma Brown, Maddox Rosenblum, Ed Grabo, Max Moeller, Ava Corvo, Charlotte Levesque, Austin Martin, Colton Maxfield, Tony Medina, Charlie Price, Lucy McLean, Anna Hooper, Quentin LeManager, Riley McCabe, Ember Vanderwall, London Wengert, Julia Warwozniak, Belle Charles, Darren Hooper Medina of K&K Designs, Ryan Maxfield, and Tiffany LeManager. Each child received a treat bag after visiting Santa. There were several craft and coloring projects for the kids, including letters to sign and ornaments. A Community Gives, 100 Families Fed in Watsika for Thanksgiving by Carla Waters. It started as a simple social media post wanting to help those in need. It ended up being a community effort that fed 100 families. Michael McKinney and Donna DeLong first decided to purchase about a dozen Thanksgiving dinners for those in need. Then I just made a post on Facebook to see if anybody wanted to pitch in. It was about $25 per meal kit when you broke it down, he said. That mention had an outpouring of people wanting to help. The government was shut down at the time, and people who have SNAP benefits were wondering how they're going to do it. I asked her if she cared if we donated some meals. She said, let's do it. It just started with about a dozen families we were going to help. We just wanted to make it a little easier for someone. We didn't care what their story was. We didn't care what the reason was. If they came in and said, hey, we could use it, we would take people who asked right away. And when we made the post about it, obviously we were worried about it because they wouldn't have reached out so fast. We just wanted them for their word. We didn't have anybody in mind. We just wanted to help whoever needed it. The distribution was November 20th at the Silo Pub and Eatery. It didn't take long for the 100 meals to be claimed. DeLong said we just wanted to make it about the community. It was a bunch of friends of hers and mine that pitched in. We found out kindness contagious. Everybody was willing to pitch in and do whatever, McKinney said. The meal packages included one frozen turkey that would feed 10 to 16 people, one 5-pound bag of potatoes, at least 3 cans of vegetables, corn and beans, one jar of turkey gravy, and at least one box of stuffing, and one package of brown and serve rolls. Casey Westerfield donated 100 homemade pies, they said, with a number of different kinds of pie to choose from. Walmart stored some of the food for them until the distribution day. The Good Table Family Restaurant made a sizable money donation. McKinney noted that the Good Table owner was also feeding people who had lost their SNAP benefits at his restaurant. We are just happy to help people, McKinney said. We felt like the people who asked right away when we made the post about it obviously were worried about it because they wouldn't have reached out so fast. That's why we started making a list, because we didn't want to turn anyone away. It went from 12 people we had to 50 people, and then so many people donated, we just doubled the whole thing. The list of donors includes Sonia Brantley, John Mann, Chad Markley Farms and Trucking, Good Table Family Restaurant, Cordes Brothers Towing, Chad Markley, Jason Brammer, Rochelle Cordes, Reiki Practitioner, Clayton Cordes, Flamir Fasia, Amanda Longfellow, Heather Marie, Shelley Wagner, J.C. West, Erica Lenz Carlson, Brianna and Deanna Barnard, Cassie Castengay, Gina Callahan, Darren Crook, Dan Grabo, Stacy Martin Smith, Janet Raymer, Marissa Kuntz, Lene Christen, Josh Cronch, Brian Walwer, Cindy Onan Ayers, Scott Corey, Dominique Harmon, Jeffrey Savoy, Chuck Shipley, Jennifer Shipley, Kaylee Short, Rachel Verkler Gregory, Timothy Scott, and Mary Curry. We just wanted to try to help a little bit. We didn't want to be those people who complain about why. We just wanted to see if we could help a few people, and that was the motivation. It's tough times. Everybody is having them for whatever reason, McKinney said. Christmas Cantata phone number is ready. Tickets are free, but you have to reserve seating. This year marks the 50th annual Iroquois County Christmas Cantata, and the performers have been busy practicing the songs for this year's presentation, Light of the Stable. Performances are set for 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Friday, December 19th, and 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. Sunday, the 21st. All presentations take place at Living Hope Church, First Christian Church at 546 North 6th Street in Watsika. It's free to attend the presentations, but due to limited seating, you must call ahead to make a reservation. The number to call is 815-683-6208. That's 815-683-6208. Be sure to leave your name, contact information, the time and date of the presentation you want to attend, and how many people will attend with you. You will receive a call back or text verifying your reservation. Now turning to page 2, Gamma New Chapter hosts Sugar Creek Trading Company. Chef Angelina Pacheco and herbalist Chris Canaday of Sugar Creek Trading Company fascinated members of Gamma Nu Chapter of Delta Kappa Gamma Society of Women Educators at the November meeting. They shared anecdotes of how their business has evolved because of their unique interests and backgrounds in nature, particularly in the plants and their impact on our bodies. These interests shaped the creation of Sugar Creek Trading Company of Watsika. Members enjoy caprese sandwiches with spinach, tomato, and mozzarella on homemade focaccia, quinoa, acorn squash, and a freshly made croissant dessert served with hibiscus tea. Gamma Nu's next meeting will be February 11th at Bookish to discuss The Academy by Ellen Hildebrand. Chaban's Lodge of St. Anne will present a pancake breakfast. Chaban's Lodge of St. Anne 429 will present the Masonic Lodge All-You-Can-Eat Pancake Breakfast December 13th. The event will be from noon to 3 p.m. at the Civic Center at 80 East 1st South Street in Chaban's. Pancakes, sausage, coffee, juice, and milk will be offered for $10 for adults and kids 10 and under $5. CCHS to host annual Christmas Open House sponsored barrel decorating contest. Members of Crescent City Historical Society will host the group's annual Christmas open house from 1 to 3 p.m. Sunday, December the 7th. The CCHS Museum is located in the upstairs of City Hall at 400 Main Street. As visitors enter City Hall, they will find a fun and whimsical display of snowmen set up on the ground level. A lot of items which can be handled can be brought from the second floor to the ground floor for viewing. Visitors to the open house can enjoy cookies while viewing the displays. Additionally, the group will have the What Is It contest. Visitors are encouraged to try to identify the unique antique item and win a prize. Keeping with the snowman display at the museum, the group's annual barrel decorating contest will have the theme of snowman also. Barrels locating along the main street will be decorated by local businesses. CCHS is a not-for-profit group. Those who want to help the group can do so with a friendship tax-deductible donation. The suggested donation for an individual or family is $30 per year and $50 for a business. Friends of CCHS are listed in the group's newsletter. For more information on the group, send an inquiry to CCHS, Post Office Box 410, Crescent City, 60928. That's 60928. Visit the website of www.crescentcityhistoricalsociety.co.nf, send an email to crescentcityhistoricalsociety@yahoo.com, or visit the group's Facebook page of Crescent City Historical Society. IMH celebrates employees reaching 5 to 40 years of service. Iroquois Memorial Hospital proudly recognizes a group of longtime employees for their exceptional dedication and years of service. These individuals have played a vital role in providing compassionate care and advancing IMH's mission to deliver quality health care close to home. According to information provided, honorees celebrating 40 years of service are Jane Connolly, Pharmacy, and Marcia Hubert, Cardiac Rehab. Recognized for 35 years of service, Stephen Massey, Laboratory. Celebrating 30 years of service are Michelle Fox, Physician Services, Darlene Persey, Laboratory, Deborah Risley, Laboratory, and Bruce Adams, Surgery. Honored for 25 years of service are Linda Schroeder, Progressive Care Unit, Diana Adams, Emergency Department, and Kelly Schlaffenhaufen, Medical Imaging. Recognizing 20 years of service are Rebecca Darrow, Medical Imaging, Scott Schneider, Medical Imaging, Deborah Fleming, Specialty Clinic, and Angela Potts in Home Health. Honored for 15 years of service are Brenda Dawson, Environmental Services, Laura Sucker, Administration and Purchasing, Patricia Roth, Laboratory, Sally Razdahl, Laboratory, Kimberly Nymphs, Home Health, and Carly Grabo, Hospice. Recognized for 10 years of service are John Franklin Hospice and Tracy Bishop in Hospice. Celebrating 5 years of service are Noelle Weber, Resident Home, Stephanie Page, Rehab Services, Shelley Howell, Respiration Therapy. Celebrating 5 years of service are Noelle Weber, Resident Home, Stephanie Page, Rehab Services, Shelley Howell, Respiratory Therapy, Jesse Davis, Milford Clinic, Brandy Raby, Environmental Services, Kaylee Heidemann, Food Services, Timothy Bauer, Transportation, Alexis Hansen, Progressive Care Unit, Bella Yarno, Resident Home, Elizabeth Johnson, Resident Home, and Martin Tilstra Maintenance. These individuals have dedicated much of their lives to caring for our patients and supporting our mission, said Mike Tilstra, Chief Executive Officer at Iroquois Memorial Hospital. Their loyalty, compassion, and professionalism have made an incredible impact on our hospital and the communities that we serve. Little Mr. and Miss Snowflake Coloring Contest winners announced. The Watsika Area Chamber of Commerce is pleased to announce the winners of the Little Mr. and Miss Snowflake Coloring Contest. Lakeland Walls and Tate Waldwar are this year's winners. The Little Mr. and Miss Snowflake Contest was a coloring contest open to area children ages 3 through 7. This year's winners will ride in the 20,025 Characters of Christmas Parade with Santa. Lakeland Walls of Watsika is 7 years old. Her parents are Carissa Cotter and Noah Walls. Tate Waldwar of Watsika is 5 years old. His parents are Mackenzie and Rose Waldwar. The parade was set for 7 p.m. on November 28th. For more information, please contact the Chamber office at 815-432-2416. And now some obits from the paper today. Herbert W. Clatterbuck. Herbert W. Clatterbuck, 92, of Watsika, formerly of Martinton, passed away on Thursday, November 20th at the Iroquois Resident Home in Watsika. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Monday, November 24th, which already happened. Funeral services were at Knapp Funeral Home, with Pastor Ashley from Clifton officiating. Burial followed in the Prairie Dale Cemetery near Iroquois. Memorials may be made to the Iroquois Memorial Hospice, Martinton Fire, or Donor's Choice. Lewis Chandler. Lewis Chandler, 89, of Buckley, died at 3:43 p.m. Wednesday, November 19th, at his home. And his funeral services were held also on Monday, November 24th, at Bear Family Funeral Services in Buckley. Reverend Kevin Wyckoff officiated. Burial was in Woodland Cemetery. He had military honors by the Buckley American Legion. Byron A. Hickson, Post 432. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church, Buckley, or IMH Hospice. Mary Jean Hartlip, 97, of Sheldon, passed away on Saturday, November 22nd, at Gilman Healthcare Center in Gilman. Funeral Mass was November 26th, which obviously has already passed, at St. Edmund Catholic Church in Watsika. Reverend Michael Powell officiated. Burial followed at Sheldon Cemetery in Sheldon. Memorials may be made to St. Edmund Catholic Church in Watsika or St. Mary's Catholic Church in Beaverville. IDPH releases the latest maternal mortality data report. The Illinois Department of Public Health has released its latest Iroquois maternal mortality data report, analyzing data regarding deaths that occurred during pregnancy or within 1 year of pregnancy from 2021 to 2022. IDPH convenes two maternal mortality review committees to identify causes of death and determine whether a death was pregnancy-related. The committees also assess preventability, identify contributing factors, and develop recommendations to prevent future deaths. The report reaffirms the importance of Governor J.B. Pritzker's birth equity blueprint and the state's efforts to address pregnancy-related deaths and inequitable birth outcomes. Main findings showed that during 2021-2022, an average of 110 women in Illinois died each year during pregnancy or within 1 year after pregnancy, with slightly more deaths in 21 than in 22. About half of those pregnancy-associated deaths, 43%, were determined to be pregnancy-related. Overall, pregnancy-related mortality increased during this period compared with previous reporting cycles, and MMRCs determined that 91% of pregnancy-related deaths during this period were potentially preventable. Racial disparities remained stark. Black women were more than twice as likely to die from pregnancy-related conditions and three times as likely to die from pregnancy-related medical complications compared with white women. Geographic patterns also persisted, with Chicago and other urban counties experiencing the highest pregnancy-related mortality. Substance use disorder was the leading cause of pregnancy-related death, followed by thrombotic embolism, COVID-19, and hemorrhage. Timing of deaths revealed additional prevention opportunities, as about one-third of the pregnancy-related deaths occurred more than 60 days postpartum. The report outlines key recommendations to prevent future pregnancy-related deaths, targeting action across providers, hospitals, state systems, community-based organizations, and payers. Recommendations are organized across the Birth Equity Blueprint goals of optimizing access to health care, improved quality of services, better coordination across systems, and data-driven surveillance and solutions. Behind every data point in this report is a life lost, and far too often it's a Black woman or someone living in an underserved community, said IDPH Director Dr. Samir Vohra. These disparities are unacceptable and, as the data showed, likely preventable. The Governor's Birth Equity Blueprint and the investments being made are designed to address these disparities, ensuring that our next steps include coordinated action, shared accountability, and deep community partnership. We are working to build an Illinois where everyone has a safe and healthy pregnancy, birth, and postpartum experience. Addressing health inequities has been a primary focus of IDPH and the Pritzker administration. Earlier this year, Governor Pritzker unveiled his Birth Equity Blueprint, a roadmap to improve maternal care and birth outcomes in Illinois. The blueprint represents a multi-agency initiative across the Governor's Office, Lieutenant Governor's Office, Illinois Department of Public Health, Illinois Department of Human Services, Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services, and more. The blueprint also identifies systemic inequities in maternal health care and birth outcomes due to systemic racism and geographic inequalities, and provides four strategic goals: expand investments in health quality and provider support, promote access to birthing and specialty care services, establish universal risk assessment, referral and care coordination, framework develop shared measurement and accountability framework for maternal health and birth equity. The blueprint builds on the Governor's Birth Equity Initiative, which has led to millions of dollars of investment in maternal and infant health, including $12 million in child tax credits, $5 million to expand home visits, $1 million in a diaper pilot program for new parents, $1 million for the Chicago Southside Birth Center, $4.5 million in birth equity seed grants, which have helped fund the following: 186 doulas trained across two-quarters of implementation, significantly expanding access to culturally competent perinatal support; 79 lactation consultants trained, enhancing breastfeeding support capacity across the communities; 110,647 individuals reached through education and outreach services; 7,158 individuals referred to critical maternal and reproductive health services. Strategic planning efforts guided by the blueprint recently launched at the 3rd Illinois Maternal Health Summit in Bloomington. More than 200 maternal health providers, advocates, community-based organizations, researchers, state leaders, and other partners convened to begin shaping coordinated strategies for the year ahead. During this summit, participants examined current challenges, shared perspectives from their respective communities and systems, and collaborated in breakout sessions focused on each of the four blueprint goals. This gathering marked an important step in aligning statewide efforts, strengthening partnerships, and building a shared roadmap to improve maternal health outcomes across Illinois. You can get more information on that IDPH website at Maternal Health. Watseka Library offering holiday escape room. Test your problem-solving skills this holiday in our Operation Naughty known to Nice escape room. The escape room will be held on December 8th, 9th, and 10th with time slots from 3 to 5 p.m. We still have some time slots open, but they are going fast. Please stop by the library or call to sign up. Our teen book club will meet on December 3rd at 4 p.m. to discuss The Afterlife of Holly Chase, a reimagining of the classic A Christmas Carol. Holly is visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, who tried to convince her to change her ways, but she didn't, and then she died. Please stop by the front desk to sign up and check out a copy of the book. Calling all teens, come join us for a night of cozy crafting on December 17th at 5 p.m. We will be building miniature Christmas dioramas and watching the Yuletide classic from the 1991 Home Alone. Refreshments will be provided. Bring your sweater and your cheer. Space is limited. Please call or stop by the front desk to sign up. Stop in and check out the teen bulletin board in the YA room. We have a monthly teen craft and information about our upcoming events like Teen Advisory Board and Dungeons and Dragons. The December craft is pipe cleaner trees. You can make it the library or take it home. The Watseka Public Library will be closed for the Thanksgiving holiday on November 27th and 28th and will open on Saturday, November the 29th. Our current story walk book is Twas the Night Before Thanksgiving. Head over to Lakeview Park to read this story. All drop-in and take-home crafts are available while supplies last. Week of November 24th, kids drop-in craft. That's all passed, so I'm not going to read that. I will read Open for Normal. Saturday hours, the week of December 1st, kids drop-in craft reindeer ornaments. Tuesday, December 2nd, preschool story time. Tis the season. 10 a.m. Tuesday, December 2nd, lawyers in the library. 1:30 to 4 on Wednesday, December 3rd, preschool story time. Tis the season. 10 a.m. Friday, December 5th, a D&D club meeting week of December 8th, kids drop-in craft. Sticker People Monday, December 8th, Operation Naughty to Nice Escape Room, 3 to 6 p.m. Tuesday, December 9th, Preschool Storytime Lights. 10 a.m. Tuesday, December 9th, Operation Naughty to Nice Escape Room, 3 to 6 p.m. Wednesday. December 10th, Preschool Storytime Lights at 10 a.m. Wednesday, December 10th, Operation Naughty to Nice Escape Room, 3 to 6 p.m. Thursday, December 11th, Adult Craft. 10 a.m. Thursday, December 11th, Caregiver Support Group from 1:30 to 2:45 p.m. A little bit of sports. Cisna Park girls basketball team gets a win over PBL. Cisna Park defeated PBL 57-27 in girls basketball on November 24th. That puts the team's record at 4-1 as of that date. A fast start got us on track. Challenges were made to players and the girls responded well, said Coach Anthony Videka. Ball movement was better and little details on defense are starting to get closer to where we want them. Jesse Newcomb led us in high fives and assists. Addison Lucht had 5 steals along with 4 assists. Addison Lucht had 5 steals along with 4 assists. Lauren Hamrick led us with 5 rebounds. A good effort was given by Annika Stodeli for being selfless and playing a different position. Key stats. Addison Lucht, 18 points, 5 rebounds. 5 steals. 4A, Lauren Hamrick, 18 points, 5 rebounds. Josie Newcomb, 10 points, 3 steals. Annika Stodeli, 2 points, 4 steals. On November 22nd, on the final day of the Cisna Park tip-off classic, Cisna Park lost to DMAC, 46-49. A close first half got blown open a little as we were outscored 11-5 in the second quarter, Videka said. An offensive struggle in that quarter absolutely affected the outcome. The girls started finding the basket more in the second half, led by Addie Lucht, scoring 25 of her game-high 30. We tied the game in the last minute, but with some defensive lapses, we went back down 3. We couldn't convert on our last possession and ended up fouling, but it was too little too late. The late effort gave us a chance, but we fell short of our goal. Key stats, Addison Lucht, 30 points and 4 rebounds. Lauren Hammock, 9 points, 5 rebounds. Josie Newcomb, 5 points, 5 rebounds. In the November 20th game, Cisna Park defeated Bishop McNamara, 56-25. Energy and effort were preached before the game, and energy and effort were exactly what the girls brought, said Videka. They met and exceeded their expectations. Defensively, the girls got deflections, stayed active, their rotations, and rebounded well. Led by Josie Newcomb, 6 boards, and was the high five leader. We had some girls step up tonight playing extra minutes due to foul trouble. Mady Markoff scored 9, and Ava Hendricks and Marina Day stepped up and challenged shots and grabbed 4 and 3 boards respectively. Addison Lucht had a game high of 24, and Lauren Hamrick scored 11. And that's all we have time for today. I hope you enjoy your weekend. This is Kathy signing off on Friday, the 28th of November.